The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Merry Monday edition. We're live, I assure you. We're doing it live the Monday after Christmas. You know, there's still some headlines to be had this week. Some digesting, some, you know, crudifying right here on the radio. You can be a part, 844-967-2789. We've got Dr. Harvey K. co-deviling in the 4 o'clock Central Time happy hour. So looking forward to Harvey coming soon. But since the last time I did this radio show with you, Fancy Brian, I went on the Foxy News. Fox News. Third time I've been. Third time's a charm.
Congratulations.
And I'm 2 hours delayed. I wasn't doing this from home. And normally they just park you in a local studio. And you go down to the local TV station. They, you know, connect you. But out in Las Vegas, I didn't know what they were going to do. I said, well, I'm okay with coming on. And just so I'm clear, they don't pay me appearance fees. It's, you know, pro bono work, if you will. But being a media whore and all that kind of stuff, I said, sure, I'll come on. But you got to get me a car and you got to give me a studio in Vegas because I'm going on vacation. And so anyways, the lady's like, well, you know, do you really need a car? It's just right down the block. I'm like, well, you know, but it's not my home turf. I'd prefer a car. And she said, yeah, but you don't need a car. You can walk there. It's pretty close. Here's what I didn't know until I got to Vegas, Fancy Brian. Pretty close was across two highways. So the strip is backed by, you know, Highway 15.
You had to figure out how to cross two big highways?
Well, even Tropicana Avenue, you know, there's a reason they have all those pedestrian walkways in Vegas that get you over the highly trafficked area.
Oh, so you're doing stairs as well now.
But if you, dude, the day I did 25,000 steps, 100, maybe it was the next day, 102 floors. 102 floors. I climbed up Mount Zion, or at least one of the many mountains there, but whatever. Now I'm complaining about my, you know, mile and a half walk down to the Fox News place. Seemed like way too far to go. So I had to get a cab. So I'm out like $15 right now. Fox News, I'm looking for my $15. But anyways, I show up at the studio and it's a little private place. Guy, very nice, felt well-treated by the staff there. But I realized, I mean, it's off Dean Martin Boulevard, which I got to know a little bit because we got a rental car, drove around Vegas a bit. But I'm telling you, man, there was no way I was getting a cab back. You know, I would have had to basically walk back across a couple highways. And the camera guy gave me a ride. He's like, he took mercy on me. And, you know, it's not like I'm wearing a suit. You know, at like 9 o'clock in the morning in Las Vegas, wearing a suit like I'm doing a walk of shame coming home from the drinking last night. And I've got to cross two highways. And I mean, literally, there are people, I watched people walk across the 50, 60, 70 mile per hour highways. Like they crossed traffic. I don't do that.
That's like gambling. The Beltline in Madison. That's real gambling there. I put a sports book on that end right there. That's an unofficial thing, like throw up, that's with chalk. That's like stuff the running man does.
So anyways, you know, just being, feeling happy to be alive just to get to the Fox News interview. And somewhere over the course of the morning, and I was still sleeping in, on Vegas time and all that kind of stuff, and apparently Joe Manchin had gone on the Foxy News Sunday, now hosted by Brett Baer, at least it was that Sunday, and said, I'm killing the Build Back Better. So they tell me, let's talk about Build Back Better. Mike Emanuel is the host of this Foxy News show I'm going on. I'm like, all right, man, there ain't one, but sure, I got plenty to say. Like, Merry Christmas to everyone except you, Joe Manchin.
Pretty much.
And they get me on, and they start asking me about smash and grab crime.
Oh, kind of like they asked you on for the other thing, and they asked you about the imminent immigrant
invasion. Yeah, the border crisis, and why is it my and Joe Biden's fault?
Oh.
So they've got me on, and I can't even see the host. I didn't even see the preview video. I'm staring at a blank void in studio light, and they've got like a little X where I'm supposed to look at where the camera is. But they don't even have monitors. I can't even see the host or what they've played to lead into me.
Oh, so you're in limbo right
Total
there.
Darkness. And they lead me in with, smash and grab crimes. And this is how I reacted with very little notice and a little bit of a Vegas hangover, I got to admit. Early last Sunday morning, Crudy on Foxy News, Cut 5.
Well, of course, no one likes crime. I don't think that anyone is for crime. And, we see a rise in certain types of crime, like murders and car thefts. I would say that overall violent crime is down statistically, but obviously these very heinous crimes, they're up. And, of course, be it the left, be it the right, we should all be concerned about the prospect of crime. The question is, what do we do about it? Mm-hmm. And I don't like the term defund the police. I think we should demilitarize the police. We should stop putting so many militaristic resources behind local police departments. But ultimately, nobody is pro-crime.
That's how they wanted to frame me. Crudy, why are you pro-crime? Why are you in the left all for smash and grab crime? I mean, that they brought me on to be the pinata, right? And, okay, I'm not pro-crime. Let's start from that premise. Here's a little more Crudy on the Foxy News with Mike Manuel. And also, they didn't tell me there'd be a co-panelist. And this guy's a former Republican congressman, Bob Barr. I don't know if we have any of Bob's.
Might be the whitest person I've seen in a long time.
Bob is quite white. Very Republican. Very Foxy friendly, although translucent nearly. A little bit more. Crudy on the Fox News. I'm agreeing with very white Bob. Cut 6.
I don't know that Joe Biden specifically can turn this particular issue around
smash
in and
up and
itself.
Grab. Why should he?
There's no executive order. There's no magic wand that Joe Biden has to change the prospect of smash and grab crime. However, I agree with Bob. I think this is really more of a problem, this specific type of crime. That's a problem of corporate America. And certainly they should be working in conjunction with local law enforcement. But if I owned a store and it was getting robbed, it's my job to put protection in my store, in my shop.
How dare I? That's not the narrative they were going with. So one more crack at why is this all, your problem, Crudy? And I thought we were talking about Build Back Better that morning, but apparently smash and grab, and why is it Joe Biden's fault? Why didn't the president solve this problem for department stores? Well, I asked, what about these other crimes? Like the ones on January 6th? And that's pretty much where the interview kind of wrapped up, Fancy Brian. Let's play it for the folks. One more Crudy on Foxy News, Cut 7.
So, ultimately, this is a problem, no doubt, but it is a problem in just certain jurisdictions like San Francisco. We haven't seen this sort of crime where I'm from, not with any sort of frequency. So certainly I don't think we should be making national policy predicated on a few smash and grabs at specific stores. Now, Joe Biden, crime is certainly an issue. Mm-hmm. I think that we look at these sort of crimes that, are being accentuated on this program. But I also look at, what your colleague, Geraldo Rivera, said the other day. We had some very substantial crimes at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
All right.
I think there are other types of crimes.
Cut this guy off. Shut him down.
Now, it's horrible when you bring up things that I wasn't prepared for.
And that was the end of the interview. They shut me down when I started bringing up the Capitol 6 insurrection. Then Crudy, less important at that point. I should have fought for my topic a little bit more. I couldn't tell if the interview was really done or if they just decided, this guy's crossing a line, making us look bad in our support of the insurrection.
Well, they want to talk about the only crime that they care about at that moment and not actual principle.
The war on Christmas.
And that's why of course, it's a very hard war on Christmas. Oh, my goodness. We were all shut down because of the shipping. How did anybody ever get through Christmas right now?
Do you see that Christmas spending way up? Way up.
Oh, yeah.
It was quite a very terrific Christmas for retailers, up about 8.5%.
To which I'd like to say thank you, Joe Biden. I'm pretty sure that child tax credit really helped with that holiday spending, just to throw it out.
Put it a different way. Let's go, Brandon.
I like it. Let's go, Brandon.
Ruth Marcus over at the Washington Post, and you can be a part of this show. Join me before I am joined by Dr. Harvey Kay in the 4 o'clock hour, 844-967-2789. Opinion, a little opinion piece. Here's the headline. The Let's Go Brandon Oregonian, you know, the guy we talked about, his name's Jared Schmack, something of that sort, a New York judge, and the true meaning of Christmas. No, the First Amendment. Let me read here. This is the time of year for talk about the true meaning of Christmas. This year, it seems, we need to talk a bit about the true meaning of the First Amendment as well. Two otherwise unconnected Christmas week episodes bring freedom of speech to the forefront. First, an Oregon man, Jared Schmack, who insulted President Biden on a Christmas call with the president and then complained that he was being attacked for exercising my God-given right to express my frustrations in a joking manner. Next, the New York State Judge, Charles D. Wood, who not only kept in place his blatantly unlawful prior restraint against the New York Times for publishing documents obtained from Project Veritas, but also ordered the newspaper to turn over physical copies and destroy any electronic versions of the material. That sounds a lot like, you know, the John Doe in the state of Wisconsin. And burn all the evidence. Let me exercise my constitutional given right to express my frustrations, Ruth Marcus writes, to suggest that neither individual understands the first thing about the First Amendment. Schmack has every legal right, as he says, to be rude to the president while he and his first lady were answering calls to NORAD's Santa Tracking Center. Schmack ended the call with Merry Christmas and Let's Go Brandon, then insisted he meant no disrespect by the obviously disrespectful phrase whose meaning no longer requires clarification. And clarified, you know what it means, F. Joe Biden. Here we get to the meaning of the First Amendment. It means that here, unlike in authoritarian countries, Schmack not only has the right to say what he wants to the president, he also can say it directly to him without fear of being jailed, being fined, or being punished by the government in any way. That's what the First Amendment's right, right? That's what it means. As Ruth Marcus writes, his freedom of speech is near absolute, just like that of the person who burns an American flag or wears a jacket emblazoned with F the draft into a courthouse. No one can punish him, not in America, in parenthetical, she writes, at least not yet. See, for example, Donald Trump's threat to open up our libel laws. But it's also fair game for others to criticize Schmack for what he said. I'm being attacked for utilizing my freedom of speech, Schmack complained. Utilizing his freedom of speech, wrong. He is being attacked for being out of line. And while incivility is constitutionally protected, it is not immune from public criticism. As Justice Louis Brandeis once wrote in a famous dissent, the remedy to be applied is more speech, not enforced silence. Marcus writes, enforced silence brings us even more dangerous and even more ignorant event of the past week. Wood's order against the time. The law here could not be clearer. Nothing is more repugnant to the First Amendment than telling a news organization what it can and cannot publish. Or say on the radio, for that matter. The Supreme Court underscored that principle in the 1971 Pentagon Papers case, New York Times v. United States, in which the government sought to prevent the Times and the Post from preventing classified documents. Those disclosures may have a serious impact, Justice Hugo Black wrote in rejecting that effort, but there is no basis for sanctioning a previous restraint on the press. Now comes Justice Wood, who, it's safe to say, is no Justice Black. His ruling came in a libel suit against the Times by Project Veritas, the conservative group that runs sting operations to expose alleged liberal bias in various institutions. Well, here's the deal. We'll come back to this. Ruth Marcus is talking about the ruling of the court and the fact that they're basically saying destroy all the evidence. And Project Veritas, who, you know, uses quite unscrupulous methods, well, they publish stuff like this all the time, and they are protected by what's it called? Oh, the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Get used to it. Come back with us. Join us on the phones. Use your First Amendment rights, sort of. We lightly screen here. 844-967-2789. Join the Monday merriness.
You are a rude, terrible person.